Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
The title of the message that God gave me is No Masks Needed. Just be you. But I need to ask you, who are you? Maybe you're misashamed. You've done things that make you feel guilty. Maybe you might consider yourself Miss Dumb. Everyone seems so much smarter than you. Maybe you think of yourself as Miss Disappointment. Life just hasn't turned out the way you planned it. Maybe you might look at yourself and think that you're Miss Discouraged all the time. You just feel like giving up. Who are you? Do you consider yourself misfrustrated? You've made mistakes that have cost you? Are you misunattractive? Just absolutely unhappy about your appearance? Or are you misabandoned? Is that who you think you are? That God's forgotten about you, you feel all alone, no one seems to care or understand? Who are you? But if any of these things describe you, or the way you feel about you, the way you look at yourself and think that's who you are, then you'd probably be embarrassed if people actually found out about that, wouldn't you? So what happens? We want to cover who we think we are, how we look at ourselves. We want to cover it. Actually, everyone has felt these ways at times, and that's why most people go around wearing masks. We're embarrassed. We don't want people to know, this is how I feel, or this is what has happened, or this is what I've done. We're embarrassed, so we want to cover, right? When you're embarrassed, you want to cover. So that's what a mask is. Listen to what a mask is. It's a covering for all or part of the face. The synonym for the word mask is actually cover. Here's another definition of mask, worn to conceal one's true identity. Here's another definition, anything that disguises or conceals. And another definition, I found this interesting. I wanted to say it, although I don't think we're really going to touch on it today, but boy, it's just a whole nother scenario. Worn for protection, you know, protection like in sports, right? You know, they wear those different masks, you know, for sports, for protection, or, you know, for sickness, you know, different sicknesses, you know, they'll put a mask on. And like I said, just a basic synonym for the word mask is cover. But so people do this, why? So they can cover up who they really are to look like someone they're really not, right? You remember when you were a little girl? What'd we do? We'd play dress up. Anybody ever play dress up? Yeah. What'd you do? You were disguising that you were a little girl because you wanted to look big and all grown up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Do the Message Bible right now. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. Do I have any ladies out there? We are going to just refuse to wear any kind of masks and to play games. And think about it. Notice masks and playing games go hand in hand. They go together. Just like, you know, when we talked about the little girl growing up, you know, what is that mask? She was covering herself. She was dressing up. What? To cover up. You know, but notice it was play. It was playtime. We're playing dress up. It's playtime. Dress up. Well, for us children of God, daughters of the Most High God, playtime is not cover up time. It's not putting on a mask time. God Almighty lives on the inside of us. You know, we got to get this. There's nothing to cover up. If you're trying to cover up, we're covering up him. And anything that we don't like about ourselves, we're looking at ourselves in the flesh and according to the natural. We got to put that aside and let him rise up from the inside and reveal him. That's who we are. We're revealers of God, not concealers of sin and shame. We're revealers of God. But notice the statement in that scripture, since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing. Don't you love that? God doing? He's not giving out masks, I can tell you that. He's taking away the shame. He's taking away the shame. He's not giving you a mask to put on to cover up. He's made the way, he's provided the way to take that shame away. It's not supposed to be covered up. It's supposed to be taken away. I'm glad that's what he's doing. I'm glad he's not going, oh God, oh Lord, she needs another mask. Get her another mask. Oh, this one needs another. Just cover it, cover it, just cover it. No, he's like, no, no, no. He doesn't want us concealed. He wants himself in us revealed. He's not giving us a mask to cover, but he's taking away the shame so we can discover. Discover what? Discover who we really are. Discover what we really look like. Discover who he really is in us. This isn't putting on masks and playing games. This is reality, ladies. That's reality. The putting on the masks and the playing games, that's all carnality. You are amazing. And you need to be revealed. Get those masks off. I want to see him. The world needs to see him. They don't need another one putting on a mask, putting up a front, putting on a, just playing games, trying to pretend they're somebody they're not. That's not what this world needs. They need someone real. Not someone that's trying to be like them and kind of look like them. I'm sorry, I don't want to look like the world. And anything and everything I can do to not look like the world, I'm doing it. I'm not going to do all their things. Not doing it. Amen? And I don't believe you are either. Hallelujah. It's like a righteous anger that rises up in me. It really is. When the church is trying to look like the world, it's pathetic to win the world. Or just to be like, well, what's so wrong with this? Well, I'm sorry. If Jesus was here, would he do it? So listen, the truth is Jesus gave us his grace for our disgrace. Before we were born again, we were a disgrace to him. But Jesus gave us his grace for our disgrace. There's no shame. There's no blame. Nothing to cover up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the same scripture that we just read in the message. Now I want to read it in the New King James, okay? Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves for every man's conscience in the sight of God. But notice that, renounced the hidden things of shame. That word renounce means to give up. To give up. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. That means we have given them up. We give them up. It's time to give it up. It's time to let it go. If it's shameful, and in your heart you know, it's time to renounce it and let it go. Because Jesus already took it for us. He already paid the price for us to live a clean, holy, spotless life. And I just don't want his blood to be shed in vain. On behalf of my name, we bring him such glory. We bring our Father such honor and such pleasure when we walk holy. It brings him such, he loves us regardless. Just like, you know, if you're a parent, you know with your child, you love your child. Nothing will ever change the love for your child. But there are times when they bring you pleasure or displeasure, right? But it doesn't mean you stop loving them. Even as they're bringing you displeasure, you're so wanting to encourage them and help them and come on, baby, you can do it, you know? But it doesn't mean they're always pleasing. We want to be pleasing to our Father God, right? Not just loved by him, but pleasing unto him. That's about the life we're walking, the life we're living. We learn around here, it ain't just about grace and you can do whatever you want outside of this place. He's seeing, he's watching. Are you pleasing him? He loves you out there, but are you pleasing him out there? Renouncing the hidden things of shame. It's time to give it up. No more cover up in your life, but confess it out of your life. No more cover up in your life anymore, but we confess it out of our life. Who knows, that's what happened when we were born again. So you're thinking, what are you talking about, Pastor Gene? I've been born again. Well, it's not just we confess our sins one time and that's it. I mean, we confessed our sin once and for all. No, if you've sinned since then, you ought to have been confessing that sin since then. Otherwise, you are not forgiven of it. It's not automatic. Just because you're born again, oh, when you sin, grace just covers you and it's okay. No, you got to confess that sin. And what does confess mean? It's your mouth. It comes out of your mouth. God doesn't hear it come from your heart. It's got to come out of your mouth. We're addressing some things here this morning that I knew the Lord, different things he wanted to touch on. And this is good. It's good. Because he doesn't want us living a life of feeling like we have to cover things up all the time. You know, it's not a fun life. Think about it, even when we were not born again. You know, who knows, even then we were just, some of us, just real good rank sinners, you know? But even some of that stuff, a lot of times sinners, and especially it's gotten even worse now these days, but they don't feel like they don't have to cover anything up. They're not even covering their bodies up, let alone covering their sin up. But it's like, we got to realize, we are holy. I am holy. Say, I am holy. And I'm set apart unto God. We never have to fit in. And you know what? We're not supposed to fit in. I don't care who you are, where you go to school, where you work. You're not supposed to fit in. And it's okay. It's okay. They're not going to understand, but guess what? It's okay. In the end, everybody's going to know. They're going to all know. In the end, just hang on and just do what you know to do and be who you know you're to be. So there's no more cover up in your life, but we confess it out of our life. And notice this in that scripture said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, you got to stop putting yourself down. It's time to manifest the truth about ourselves by commending ourselves and no longer condemning ourselves. Because remember, condemning, that comes when there's a lack of repentance and turning to change. People get condemned. But why get condemned when you can just get cleansed? Condemnation is just an unwillingness to change. People think, oh, this is such a condemning message. Well, if you're not willing to change, it will be condemning to you. But I believe we've got a group here that's willing to change. Hey, God, speak to me today. I know I'm not perfect yet. I know I don't have all my ducks in a row. I don't even know where some of my ducks are. But I know I need help. Anybody need help? We're in the right place. But notice that there's a manifesting of the truth as we commend ourselves. Speak out who you are, whose you are, what you have, what you can do. We're not talking naturally you, the spirit you, the real you, God in you. And that word commend, it means to praise, to compliment, to celebrate, to honor. I love that, to honor. Honor who you are in Christ. Honor you, yourself. Honor your body, knowing that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Honor your body. And you think about the world we live in, the women, they're just such disgracing and dishonoring their bodies. We are women of God. We are not to be dishonoring our bodies. We honor our bodies. What does it mean to honor something? It means to hold it in high esteem. It means like, this isn't for just anybody. And it's not just for anybody to see. When you see yourself according to the truth of God's word, you can commend yourself to yourself and to others, rather than condemn and hide yourself from others. So this, we need to do this. We need to think great things about ourselves, knowing who is the greater one who is inside of us. So see, we can't look at ourselves according to the flesh. And again, sometimes you think, well, you don't know what I'm doing or what I've done. And well, that's why we're talking about get the mask off. Get yourself uncovered, and we're getting cleansed, and we're getting all cleaned up, and we're going out of here glorious. You're going out of here understanding and knowing who you are, who you really are, and what you really look like. So you'll understand and see there's no need for any mask over me. I have nothing to cover. I have nothing to hide. And still, even there, people think, oh, but, you know, just when you're hiding something, you know, who knows? I mean, I remember when I was little, you know, you just remember things, you know, just, you know, you've hidden something, or you know it's wrong, and you've lied, and you know when you've sinned, you know, I mean, you know that feeling? It's such a horrible feeling, because it's like, you know, anytime you can get caught, or anytime they might find out, you know what I'm saying? That feeling, even thinking about it now, it's like, oh, it's such a horrible feeling. So I'm not used to having that feeling. And even now, as I'm talking about it, it's such a horrible feeling, and I think a lot of women still live with that feeling. And we're not supposed to, especially as children of God. We're too much higher for these things in the world that try to bring you so low. You're so much better. We're so much holier. But see, there's things they'll try and pull you down, and you're almost walking on edge. You feel like you're walking on eggshells. Anytime someone might really find out who I am, they might really find out what I've done or what I'm doing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says that all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. We'll get to that again in a minute, but I wanted to put it right here. See, so we're not hiding anything. We think we are from people, but all things are open and naked unto him. So we can have those masks on and think we're covering things up all we want. But I'm telling you, I just feel like it's a reality check today, just these certain things. It's like the Lord saying, hey, I see right through that mask. I see right through that. I see that. I know that. And I feel like he's literally wanting to drive some of us to our knees and understanding that there's some things that he is displeased. And it's not everyone, and everyone's going to take this and, you know, do what they want. But I just know, you know, we've got a room full of ladies, and I just knew that there was certain things he was wanting to get, you know. And so I'm endeavoring to follow him the best I know how. But, you know, here he wants you to know that he knows, and you think no one else knows, but he knows. And him knowing is the most important thing, and the thing that you should really be concerned about the most is him knowing. Because to him, you're going to need to give an account if you don't judge yourself. So we need to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. It's a dangerous thing to not judge yourself, because you will be judged. And what do you mean, judge myself? It's talking about when we know we're displeasing to the Lord, when things are not right. It's the 1 John 1:9, keeping that in sight. It says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful. He is faithful if it's contingent upon our confession. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then from there, in that moment on, you need to know you're forgiven. And God didn't just cover it up with a mask. He cleansed you with his own blood because you prayed and asked. No shame, no blame. Glory to God. Clean, clean, clean through the blood of Jesus. Aren't you so grateful? And back in the Old Testament, the blood of the goats and the rams, it only covered their sins. But what it meant, it was still there. It was just covered. But glory to God, Jesus' blood washes it away. It washes it away. Woo! Glory to God. So there's no need to have any shame anymore for something that's been cleansed and washed away and he doesn't see anymore. But the enemy wants you to sink in shame and blame and think, how could I stand up and proclaim his name? Well, you can. Because of the blood of Jesus brought that to an end. So still in that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that word manifest, but by manifestation of the truth. Watch, manifest, he means reveal, to make known, unconcealed, undisguised. Sounds like no masks, doesn't it? No masks needed here. We're to be manifesting his truth. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, manifest is completely the opposite of a mask. So we're not to be putting on masks. We are supposed to be manifesting him. Uncover him. You know, the Bible says we've got this treasure in earthen vessels. You're born again. You've received God. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You've been saved. God lives on the inside of you and me. We have a treasure, this treasure in earthen vessels. He lives inside of us. It's time to start commending ourselves and not concealing ourselves. Unlike Adam and Eve, watch what they did. Genesis chapter 2, we're just going to pick it up right here, verse 25. Remember, they're in the garden. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In this moment here, they were naturally naked, but they were not ashamed. Why? Because they were clothed with him. So even though they were naturally naked, they didn't even realize it. They weren't conscious of themselves. They were more conscious of him. No sin equals no shame. There was no sin. So then there's no shame. So then there's no need to cover anything up. They weren't conscious of themselves. Like I said, they were more conscious of him. They didn't even realize or even pay attention that they were standing there naked. It just was not an issue. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Watch this. A little far down. We're going to pick it up in verse 7. Well, this is now after, you know, the serpent came to Eve and, you know, she sinned. And then Adam came. He listened to his wife. He sinned. All of that. Just pick it up in verse 7. Then the eyes, this is after they ate of the apple. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together. They made a Halloween costume. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Why did they all of a sudden have to cover themselves? They were still just as naked as they were before. But all of a sudden they saw that they were naked because of the sin. I want you to see something. In verse 10, watch this. So a little bit more, well, in verse 8, you know, so the Lord God starts walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid himself. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Okay, verse 9, then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Wait a minute, I thought they just covered themselves. Didn't they just cover themselves? They were naked. They didn't even know they were naked. Everything was great. They sinned. And now, what do? They take it upon themselves. Instead of going to God, you know, they take it upon themselves. We got to make fig leaves. We got to cover these. We got to cover up. So they cover themselves. They cover themselves up. And they're hiding from God. So they're already covered, but they still feel like they have to hide. You know, so now they're hiding from God. And God's like, God, where are you? And he said, what did Adam say? I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam, I thought you put some fig leaves on. When God showed up, it showed them that they were still naked. Even though they put some fig leaves on, to God, they were still spiritually naked. So back to Hebrews 4:13, like we had said before, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. See, Adam thought he was trying to hide himself. You know, we can try and hide things. All things are open and naked to him. We're not hiding anything from God. So mask or coverings do not work with God. He sees right through it. Don't look to try and cover sin, but rather run to him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be found covering, but rather running. Everybody say running, running to him. And I love this in Hebrews that chapter 4 there, down just a few verses here, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Come on, that says a lot. Doesn't that say a lot? all points, Jesus was tempted in all points. Yeah, all points. Yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who knows? If you've sinned, you've done wrong, you know, your heart, your conscience is something's up. What is a natural thing to do? To run and cover and hide. But we got to realize in him, we're supposed to be staying, resting, living, and abide. So you don't want to run and hide. We want to run to him. Okay, that's the direction we go when there's something that we know was a no-no. He's the way to go. And I love that he says here, let us therefore come boldly, because you are a daughter of God and have been made right through the blood of Jesus. Going to his throne is not hard. You're a daughter. I'm a daughter. That's where we have the right and privilege to run to that throne. It's the throne of grace. The thing about it, so many people are, they're not running to that place. They're not going because they're ashamed. But we got to realize he sees and knew all that all to begin with anyway. Run to him. Amen. And you know, think about it, even as a parent, when you know your child, you know they've done wrong something and you're endeavoring to get them to confess it, or, you know, when they're lying or something. Who knows? It is so pleasing to you, isn't it, when they'll just tell you. You're not thinking, I am so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed of you. Get away. That's not our response. Our response is we're so thankful that they've exposed this, that they've told us, that they've confessed this, so we can help them. How much more, Father God? Don't be ashamed. We run to the throne of grace, and we get to do it boldly. But remember, 1 John 1:9, it's contingent upon us confessing. We can't ever forget that. Having our sins washed away is contingent upon the confession. Time doesn't just make it disappear. Who knows, a real fresh sin, well, they seem really serious, right? But the longer space in between, we kind of start feeling better. Don't be deceived. Because it's not better until you've confessed it. But when we confess it, instead of us trying to cover it up, God comes and cleans it all up. So instead of making coverings like Adam and Eve, we get to get cleansed. It's better than any covering. We are not sinners, we are saints. Say, I'm a saint. We're not sinners. God knows that. We've been born again. We're his. We're not sinners. Sinners sin. Saints win. Saints don't sin. But when they do sin, they know they already win. So they do what it takes. And they confess. We're good to go. We think, how could just me confessing that? It's a big deal to God. That's how he said to do it. But we think, you know, I mean, I remember in religion, you know, you got, you know, 10 Hail Marys and 15 Our Fathers and all of this just to be right. I mean, no, it's the blood of Jesus. It's no works that we could ever have done or do or ever do. It's only the blood of Jesus that cleanses me and you. But, you know, sinners want to conceal, but saints want to reveal. That's you. That's the real you. That's the real me. We are saints and we want to reveal him. That's who we are, and that's what we want to do. See, the world tries to come in and get place and try and make you think you need to do this or you should do that and blah, 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 and look, this isn't that bad. And no, I want to reveal him. I want him being seen from my life. And so I'm going to do everything it takes for that to be true. How about you? In Genesis, we're over there. Well, we were there. Let's go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Woo-hoo! Look at that. Let us make man, that's you and me. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. He wanted us to be made just like him, in his image and in his likeness. That's who we are. That's what we look like now when we're born again. We have been made in his image and in his likeness. The English version. Then God said, and now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. Isn't that good? And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and they will resemble us. That's what God said about you. He saw you in here today, this morning, sitting down. I want them to resemble me. That's why it's so crazy that the church's trying to look like the world. We resemble God. Why do we want to cover that up and tattoo that up and all this other stuff that just makes us look like the world? That doesn't make you look godly. I'm sorry. The more we grow in this understanding that we look like him, the more we will see there is no mask needed. I resemble God. Can you say that? I resemble God. There's no mask needed. I resemble God. Don't be found concealing sin, but rather be found revealing him. You know, over in Luke chapter 12, verse 39, we won't go there, but over there it talks about the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? The religious ones of those days. May they make the outside clean, but inward they were full of greed and wickedness. They might have appeared to shine on the outside, but inside they were full of wickedness. Who knows, those Pharisees of that day, they were these, you know, dignified. Meanwhile, inside they were full of wickedness. They thought maybe they might have looked like they were shining to the world, but inside they were full of wickedness. They are full of themselves, but we are to be full of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, the contemporary. Be beautiful in your heart by being gentle and quiet. This beauty will last and God considers it very special. Be beautiful in your heart. You know, remember, it's the heart. God looks at the heart. Remember with David back when he was choosing the king? It seemed like, oh, well, surely he's going to choose this one. I mean, I forget his name. You know, he was something to look at, you know? Wow. Surely that's the one. And it's just all based on natural appearance. And they went through each one. Surely, okay, it's this one. And it was the ruddy one, the ruddy looking one out, the shepherd in the field. He was the one that God was calling to be king. In the natural, no one ever would have picked him out. They weren't picking him out. It can't be him. See, because the world, it's carnal, we look to the natural, right? But God looks in the spirit. He looks at the heart. So we want our heart to be beautiful. Now, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to get up and you think, well, why'd you put on makeup today, Pastor Gene? Well, it was for everyone's benefit. I like wearing nice clothes and cute and trendy. There's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But I'm not looking like the world. But there's nothing wrong with being stylish. You know, some people think, how could that be a holy woman? I'm sorry, it's not based on my outside anyway. Who are you to judge? You don't see my heart. But then people say, well, see, you don't see my heart either. So what does it matter what I do to the outside of my body? You don't see my heart. Well, God sees your heart, and you wouldn't be doing to the outside of your body if everything was right on the inside of your body. We want to get to the place. It's like, we don't have to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to prove anything to me. I don't have to prove anything to you. Can we just be who we are and let him be revealed in us? And not try and have to wear a mask and think we have to be this way with this group and then we have to look at like this way with this other group. And let's just be who we are all the time. Can we just reveal him all the time and not feel like we have to conceal him sometimes? Let's always reveal him. In the NLV of that verse, it says, you should be known for the beauty that comes from within. Now, who knows? There's a lot of people in this world. They're known for the beauty that is without, right? They're known for their natural beauty. But yet, glory to God, I love that, you know, in the body of Christ, as women, I mean, hey, there's some really great looking ones, you know, men and women. I mean, well, great. Isn't that great? I mean, we don't want to be jealous of that or envious of that or be like, you know, we want to be thankful. Hey, what an awesome representative for God on the outside and the inside. You know, that's a great representation. And each one of us just be the best representation of Jesus Christ that we can be and be happy with it and be settled in it. And let him use you in it. But the world says, hey, if you got it, flaunt it, don't they? Flaunt means to parade or display oneself conspicuously. Listen to this synonym for flaunt: expose, advertise. Have you ever seen anybody advertise before? It's like they're advertising their goods. That's not what we do. because that's not who we are. Any Christian woman that is doing that doesn't realize who she is, doesn't realize whose she is, and doesn't realize how beautiful she is. According to the word, if you've got it, honor it. And you know what, ladies? Each one of us, we have it. Because we have him. So let's honor him in our lives, with what we say, with what we do, with just everything who we are. And one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I want to bring that out. For we are his workmanship. In the New Living Version, I wrote this in my Bible. It says, you are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. And think about what a masterpiece is. I mean, it's beautiful. It's worth a whole lot of money. I'm definitely not an art person who goes to museums and sees displays and masterpieces and all those things. So I'm definitely not up on these kind of things. But I do know from the word masterpiece, you know it's expensive, right? You know it's worth a lot. You know there's something different about it. But you know, when it comes to a true masterpiece, what I've heard, because I've seen things and I'm like, what's up with that? Like, really? You'd pay $500 for that thing? You know, and it's like it's this masterpiece, or, you know, thousands of dollars, you know, all of this. And you're like, what's to it? I mean, sometimes actually it's even actually ugly, right? It's like, what were they thinking? I don't think they were. But it's a masterpiece. So when it comes to true masterpiece, many can't see the value. It looks so plain and sometimes even uglier, in my opinion, than the others. You'd think surely those over there are worth much more than this over here. Look how much more beautiful they are. But that's because we just look to those things with our natural eyes and we look naturally. But that's not what God bases us being his masterpiece on. There's a history to you and me. There's a legacy to you and me that others don't see. Each one of us, we have a history. But because they only see with their natural eyes, they think, what's so great about this masterpiece? I mean, haven't you said that before, right? I mean, I've said it before. Because you're not seeing the true meaning of why this is truly a masterpiece. And so I use that to relate it for us, you know. We are his masterpieces. That's what he said. And so a masterpiece, everyone doesn't usually see the great value in a masterpiece. So they don't see there's really much of a need to honor that one because they don't see it as a masterpiece. So where it begins understanding is with us understanding and knowing that we are a masterpiece. And if you start walking around like you are a masterpiece, then others will start to see that you're a masterpiece. Jesus bears the eternal scars that prove how much of a masterpiece we are to the master. See, the world doesn't see those scars and that blood and that sacrifice that Jesus did for you and me. He bears the eternal scars that prove that we are his masterpiece. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-432-7434. 542-2555. You can hear more messages by Jean Fraser by going to her media page at jeanfraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Jean's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is jeanfraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.